Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Unanswered Questions, Concerns About MISD Bond Proposal by Mike Cannon, former Midland Mayor. I have many questions regarding the impending $1.4 billion bond proposal recently announced by the Midland Independent School District. First, let me say that my family and I are strong supporters of our community. Midland is where I grew up. Midland is the community where my wife and I chose to live and to raise our four children. I graduated from Midland High, as did each of our four children. Midland is our home. We want the best for Midland. Having said that, I must say that a bond package for MISD in the amount of $1.415 billion is an absolutely staggering amount to me. To better understand this amount, imagine 1,400 homeowners each owing $1 million. MISD reported there are more than 28,000 students enrolled at the beginning of the year. $1.4 billion is $50,000 per student. This is far and away the largest single bond proposal that this community has ever seen. So my first question is, which parts of this bond proposal are, quote, needs, end quote, and which parts are just, quote, wants, end quote? With regards to wants and needs, why did the school board choose to include all of the components of the proposal in one, quote, take it or leave it, end quote, package? Why didn't MISD break the bond package up into several alternatives, such as putting safety and security in one package, the two indoor $20 million sports facilities in another package, and so on? That certainly would have given the individual voter a better opportunity to have a real say in the decision of which facilities are best for our children and for our community. It is our money, after all. Shouldn't we have the right to prioritize how we spend it? As for the two indoor sports facilities that are proposed, why will MISD's cost $20 million each when the indoor sports facility that is currently on Ector County ISD's bond proposal will only cost $3.75 million? Do our student athletes really need indoor sports practice facilities? Will indoor practice facilities even be good for our student athletes or help them be game ready when it's time for outdoor interscholastic competition? Why did the school board choose to place the proposed Midland High School in the current location of the Ranchland Hills Golf Course? Ranchland Hills is one of only two golf course facilities in Midland for people who choose not to belong, or who cannot afford to, belong to a country club to have golf as a recreation. Do we really want to have that away, take that away from our community? Why are we being told that there is no tax increase when that is not the real truth? Why aren't we being told that MISD is capitalizing on a long-deserved tax break that the Texas legislature provided to the citizens of Texas this past legislative session? Do we really want our high schools to be bigger and house more students than the ones we have now? Is it really better to build two new, larger facilities, or would it be preferable to remodel and refurbish the ones that we have and build a third high school for the growth that we anticipate in our community? I assume that most of us want our students to have an opportunity to participate in UIL activities. It goes without saying that more students would have a chance to participate in sports and extracurricular activities in three schools rather than in just two schools. We are going to have to build a third high school at some point. Shouldn't we have the opportunity to choose that option instead of two new, larger high schools? The, quote, notice of bond election, end quote, published by MISD reveals the total amount of the bond proposal to be $1.415 billion, and the total amount of estimated interest on the bond over the 30-year payout period to be $1.506 billion, a combined $2.921 billion. The proposal also states, in general terms, the different ways that the bond funds will be used. Further research shows the estimated cost of a new Midland High School to be $492.6 million, and the estimated cost of a new Legacy High School to be $492.6 million. Assuming 4,000 students per school, that's over $120,000 per student for each new high school. Really? What about the funds that MISD already has on hand? I understand that we have ample funds on hand to build a new elementary school. Why don't we use a portion of those funds to build a new one without borrowing and burdening the Midland taxpayers with additional debt? MISD has historically underperformed to our children's detriment. With that track record, why the rush? Why all at once? Why not a step-by-step, school-by-school process over a 5 to 10 year period? The, quote, elephant in the room, end quote, is the question of whether any of these expenditures will do anything to educate our kids any better than they have been over the past decade. We passed a bond in 2012, $163 million, the largest bond in MISD's history, and built 3 new elementary schools. None of those new schools have performed at a satisfactory level. With a track record like that, why should we now believe that building more schools and more facilities will, in any way, resolve the problems that obviously exist in our school system? We have a new school superintendent who has been here less than 1 year. I absolutely support her and wish her the best. Why not give her and her administration some time to show what they can do to bring about systemic change with the facilities we now have in place before we throw more money at the problem? For me, the bottom line is that there are just too many unanswered questions about this bond proposal and the current state of MISD. I am voting no on this proposal. I hope that a majority of Midland voters agree with me and that the next bond proposal that MISD brings up for vote will be one that we can say yes to. Time will tell. If you agree with me, I encourage you to go to movemidland.org website and offer to help bring about positive common sense change for Midland schools and for Midland's children. Texas leads rig count higher again, adding 7 rigs. Texas led the U.S. rig count higher for a second week, largely with the help from Haynesville Shale, a portion of which lies in Texas. Oilfield Services company Baker Hughes said the U.S. rig count it has issued weekly since 1940 inched up 2 rigs to 624 for the week, marking the first consecutive weekly increase since mid-September. The count is still 147 rigs, or 19% below the 771 rigs at work nationwide last October. The number of rigs seeking crude oil edged up 1 to 502, 110 fewer than the 612 reported last year. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas also rose 1 to 118. That's 39 fewer than the 157 drilling for natural gas last year. Texas jumped 7 rigs to 308 rigs at work statewide, 63 fewer than the 371 counted last year. New Mexico fell 3 rigs. Louisiana 1 joined Texas as the other producing to see an increase. Wyoming 2 was the other producing state to see a decline. The Permian Basin rose 1 rig to 312, 34 fewer than the 346 rigs drilling throughout the region the previous year. The Haynesville play saw the biggest jump among producing basins, adding 3 rigs for the week. Lee County, New Mexico, remains the most active county in the Permian Basin with 56 rigs, down 2 for the week. Eddy County, New Mexico, follows with 44 rigs, down 1. Martin County held at 40 rigs for a second week, while Reeves County added 2 rigs for 32. Loving County reported 26 rigs, up 1. Midland County had 24 rigs for a second week. Glasscock and Ward counties each had 12 rigs, unchanged for Glasscock County and up 1 for Ward County. Howard County had 11 rigs for a third week. Enverus Foundations, part of the Energy Focus software as a service firm Enverus, said its U.S. active rig count reached 683 during the week, ended October 18th, up by 2 rigs from the previous week's high point and the second consecutive weekly increase. The count is down by 5 rigs, or 1%, from a month ago, and down 199 rigs, or 23%, year over year. The largest regional increases of the last week, of 3 rigs each, boosted the Permian to 300 rigs and Appalachia to 42. All other major plays saw modest declines, with the Anadarko Basin down by 3 rigs to 43, and the DJ, Gulf Coast, and Williston down by 1 each to 16, 76, and 34, respectively. Outside of the major plays, rigs increased by 2 to 172. Midland unemployment rate falls to 2.5%. Midland's labor market continued to exhibit its state-leading strength in September, according to the Texas Workforce Commission. The commission said Friday the unemployment rate in its Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area, MSA, which includes Midland and Martin counties, fell to 2.5% from 2.8% in August and is just below the 2.6% reported last September. Midland continues to report the state's lowest unemployment ahead of Amarillo and College Station Bryan at 3.2% each, Lubbock at 3.3%, and Odessa at 3.4%. Quote, "We're definitely trending in the right direction," end quote, said Willie Taylor, chief executive officer of the Commission's Workforce Solutions Permian Basin, which oversees 17 West Texas counties. Quote, "The entire region is at full employment," end quote. "Such a tight labor market is also keeping wages higher," he added. "Wages in the mining, logging, and construction sector exceeded $1.3 billion in the first quarter of 2023, followed by trade, transportation, and utilities with $448 million, and professional and business services with $293.6 million. Taylor said the strong labor market continues to draw people to the area. Demand for skilled workers also has residents entering training programs, he said. Quote, "Truck drivers are in demand, people in the medical field. We continue to see skill shortages across the board," end quote, Taylor said. "As it is across the country, child care remains an issue in the Permian Basin," he said. His office has child care dollars available to help job seekers. "The main issue, though, is a lack of slots for children at daycare centers as well as maintaining the child care workforce." Quote, "Other that, this report is great. Economic activity is moving forward," end quote, he said. Quote, "I'm glad we have a good, strong labor market. I'm glad we have good training facilities with Midland College, Odessa College, Howard College, University of Texas Permian Basin. I'm glad we have good school systems, but we have to invest in our schools or this area will grind to a halt without strong schools because that's where our future workforce comes from," end quote. Midland civilian labor force remains well over 115,000, though it dipped slightly to 115,511 from 115,916 in August, but 5,134 above the 110,377 last September. The number of employed Midlanders also inched lower to 112,574 from 112,640 in August. But there are 5,100 more employed than last September when 107,476 had jobs. The number of unemployed Midlanders dropped by over 300 to 2,937 from 3,276 in August and is just barely above the 2,901 without jobs last year. Midland added 200 jobs from August to September for a total non-farm job count of 121,000. The government sector was the only industrial sector to gain, adding 600 jobs for the month. The dominant sector, mining, logging, and construction, led job losses by falling 300 jobs, followed by leisure and hospitality, down 100 jobs. For the 12 months from September 2022 to September 2023, Midland has added 5,600 jobs for a growth rate of 4.9%. Growth was led by the mining, logging, and construction sector with 3,000 new jobs for a growth rate of 7.9%. The government sector added 900 jobs over the year, followed by the trade, transportation, and utility sector with 600 jobs. The private education and health services sector and other services sector each added 300 jobs. The manufacturing sector and leisure and hospitality sector added 200 jobs each, and the financial activities sector added 100 jobs. Statewide, the unemployment rate held at 4.1% in September, while the state set several records. Total non-farm employment set a record for a 24th consecutive month, rising 61,400 to 14.049 million jobs. The number of employed set a record by 26,900 to 14.514 million. The third record set was for civilian labor force, which rose to 15.141 million after adding 29,500. While Midland reported the lowest unemployment statewide, the highest was in both Beaumont, Port Arthur, and McAllen, Edinburgh Mission at 5.8%. Midland unemployment, January 2023, 2.7%. January 2022, 3.9%. February 2023, 3.0%. February 2022, 3.6%. March 2023, 2.6%. March 2022, 3.1. April 2023, 2.3. April 2022, 2.8. May 2023, 2.6. May 2022, 2.8. June 2023, 2.6. June 2022, 3.2. July 2023 2.9, July 2022 2.9, August 2023 2.8, August 2022 2.8, September 2023 2.5, September 2022 2.6. Preliminary numbers for September with August numbers in parentheses. Midland 2.5, 2.8. Amarillo 3.2, 3.5. College Station Bryan 3.2, 3.8. Lubbock 3.3, 3.9. Odessa 3.4, 3.8. Abilene 3.5, 3.9. Austin Round Rock 3.6, 3.9. San Angelo 3.6, 4.0. Waco 3.7, 4.1. Fort Worth, Arlington, 3.8, 4.2. San Antonio, New Braunfels, 3.8, 4.3. Dallas, Plano, Irving, 3.9, 4.2. Sherman, Denison, 3.9, 4.3. Texarkana, 3.9, 4.2. Tyler, 3.9, 4.2. Laredo, 4.0, 4.4. Wichita Falls, 4.0, 4.4. Victoria, 4.1, 4.5. Longview, 4.4, 4.8. Houston, The Woodlands, Sugar Land, 4.4, 4.9. Corpus Christi, 4.5, 5.0. Killeen, Temple, 4.5, 5.0. El Paso, 4.7, 5.2. Brownsville, Harlingen, 5.3, 5.9. Beaumont, Port Arthur, 5.8, 6.7. McAllen, Edinburgh, Mission, 5.8, 6.8.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, October 23rd. Midland College to fly flag at half-staff to honor Henry. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. The Midland College family was saddened to learn of the death of oil man and philanthropist Jim Henry, who passed away on Tuesday, October 17th. On October 23rd, the day of Henry's memorial service, the Midland College flag will fly at half-staff. Henry's service and philanthropy to Midland College expanded several decades. He served on the original steering committee of the Midland College Advanced Technology Center and was a Midland College Foundation board member from 2010 until September of this year, a news release said. Jim and his wife Paula endowed the West Texas Symposium of History, West Texas Journal of History, and the Henry Chair of History. Their philanthropy to the college includes the Henry Innovation Center, engineering equipment, Friends of the Series, and numerous capital campaign projects. Most recently, the Henry Foundation invested $1 million in the Midland College Pre-K Academy and Center for Teaching Excellence. In 2019, upon the 50th anniversary of the Henry's business in West Texas, employees of Henry Resources and the Henry Foundation endowed the Henry Chair of Engineering at Midland College. To honor Henry's memory, on October 20th, the Henry Foundation established the Paula and Jim Henry Endowed Alumni Scholarship at Midland College to be awarded to Midland College graduates who transfer to pursue further undergraduate and graduate degrees, with preference given to history and engineering majors. The scholarship pays tribute to Paula's educational background in history and Jim's accomplishments in engineering. Texas Rangers investigate incident at Wagner Noel. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. The University of Texas Permian Basin has released a statement on Friday night's incident at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Initially, the Odessa Police Department issued a news release late Friday night. The UTPB Police Department is investigating after an incident on the evening of October 21st at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. The building is owned by UTPB. UTPB Police Department report that an individual tried to enter the event center but did not have a ticket, so he was asked to leave. About an hour later, police saw him near the engineering building. When officers approached him, he ran away, the statement detailed. Just after 10 p.m., officers noticed a large front-end loader tractor coming through the parking lot. The suspect then drove the tractor onto State Highway 191, which is a high-traffic area. That's when he hit both UTPB and Odessa police vehicles. He ignored commands to stop and purposely drove the tractor toward officers, placing them in danger. Five UTPB officers shot their firearms toward the individual, who sustained multiple wounds. Officers administered first aid, and the man was taken to the hospital in critical condition, the statement said. No guests or officers were injured, the statement said. Per UT System Police policy, the five UTPB officers involved in the shooting will be placed on paid administrative leave pending the results of an investigation. The Texas Rangers will handle the criminal investigation. Missing student has been found. Hector County ISD Chief Communications Officer Mike Adkins said the 14-year-old boy reported missing Friday night was found at home late last night. It was first reported that ECISD police and other local law enforcement agencies were asking for help looking for a 14-year-old who had been missing for several hours. The boy, 14-year-old Anthony Hoppins, has a medical condition. He was wearing a black hoodie, dark navy pants, dark shoes, and a black backpack. Gardening. Green tomatoes, bring them in. The story was written by Sarah Moran, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Horticulture Agent for Midland and Hector Counties. I planted a couple of tomato plants during this growing season. They were not the biggest producer, which is understandable. Tomato plants can be sensitive to extremely high temperatures. When temperatures consistently rise above 90 degrees, tomato plants may experience poor fruit production. Now that we are getting ready to give our garden a break or preparing it for winter crops, you probably have found a few green tomatoes here and there on your plant. I found quite a few and decided to give them a chance. So I brought them in and will try to ripen them indoors. It is recommended to place them in a warm location with temperatures between 65 to 75 degrees Fahrenheit, so I am keeping them on my kitchen counter. You can use ethylene-producing fruits like apples or bananas to speed up the ripening process. Place a ripe apple or banana in a paper bag with the green tomatoes. The ethylene gas produced by the fruit will help trigger ripening. Check the tomatoes regularly, and once they show signs of ripening, such as changing color or softening slightly, remove them from the bag and store them in a cool, dark place to finish ripening. Be patient, it will take some time. Remember, the tomatoes might not have the same flavor and texture as those naturally ripe on the tomato plant outdoors. Sunlight and nature have their magic. On the other hand, green tomatoes are edible, and you can use them in different dishes. You can even make green tomato bread. It is supposed to be savory and sweet. I am giving it a try this fall. Below are some suggestions. You can find a variety of recipes online. 1. Fried green tomatoes. A popular southern dish where green tomato slices are coated in cornmeal or breadcrumbs and fried until crispy and golden brown. 2. Green tomato salsa. It has a tangy flavor, served with tortilla chips or used as a condiment. Pickled green tomatoes. Green tomatoes can be pickled, preserving their crispness and adding a sour, tangy flavor. 4. green tomato chutney. Chutneys made from green tomatoes are a delicious condiment used in sandwiches or as a side for various dishes. 5. Green tomato relish is often served with hot dogs and burgers. The choice of how to use them is yours. The positive side is that you can salvage some of your green tomatoes. If you have questions or want more information, contact your Texas A&M County Extension Office in Midland at 432-686-4700 and Ector County at 432-498-4071. You can also send an email to sarah.moran@ag.tamu.edu.
Dallas Cowboys Chevron partner to support student services projects in Midland, Odessa. October 20th, 2023, by staff report, the Dallas Cowboys and Chevron have partnered on an initiative in Midland and Odessa that encourages teamwork between local student and nonprofits on service projects that benefit their communities. The Dallas Cowboys Community Captain Initiative invites local high school students participating in the Abel Hanger Foundation's Students in Philanthropy, or SIP, program to partner with a local nonprofit organization to develop a community service project. Student teams will be asked how they would make the greatest impact in the community if they had $10,000 and plenty of volunteers. The top four teams will get to pitch their idea to a panel of judges from the Cowboys, Chevron, and Abel Hanger Foundation later this fall at the Star, the Cowboys' headquarters in Frisco. After presenting their projects to the panel, the students will be treated to a special Cowboys experience, including a tour of the Star. Chevron will award the team selected as the community captain $10,000 to implement their project in the spring semester, making the Midland-Odessa community the ultimate winner, officials said. The Dallas Cowboys are proud to partner with Chevron to impact the Midland and Odessa communities through the Community Captain Initiative, said Dallas Cowboys Executive VP and Chief Brand Officer Charlotte Jones. The students engaging with the effort will be taking the value of sport, leadership, character, and integrity into the West Texas community to make a difference for their neighbors in need. That is always a win. Ryder Booth, Vice President of Chevron's Mid-Continent Business Unit, said the company is honored to be a part of partnership that inspires local students to unleash their creativity for the good of our community. Chevron has been an active member of the Permian Basin for nearly 100 years, and our employees take pride in giving back to our Midland-Odessa community in new and impactful ways, Booth said. Mark Palmer, CEO of Abel Hanger Foundation, called SIP a natural fit for the Community Captain Initiative. The students will gain real-world experience in thinking through the process of executing a project to benefit their community, Palmer said. Participants in the Community Captain Contest include SIP at Midland High School, SIP at Midland Legacy High School, SIP at Odessa Permian High School, SIP at Young Women's Leadership Academy, Basin Theater Works, Bynum School, Crisis Center of West Texas, Harmony Home Children's Advocacy Center, I-20 Wildlife Preserve and Jenna Welch Nature Study Center, Midland Christians Rehabilitation Center, Odessa Family YMCA, Odessa Lynx, Permian Basin Rehab Center, Permian Warrior Partnership, The Field's Edge. Doing Big Things, Commended STEM Scholar Aiming for Cybersecurity by Ruth Campbell, October 20th, 2023. Although he doesn't enjoy standardized tests, Forrest Harlow scored high enough on the PSAT to earn the Commended Scholar designation through the National Merit Scholarship Corporation. Harlow, a senior at STEM Academy, said it was because of his performance on the PSAT last year. He took the SAT on October 11th. When he took it in May, he got a composite score of 1430. 1600 is the maximum. I do not enjoy testing, but I recognize that standardized tests are an important part of the learning and measurement process for most districts, he said. Harlow said he wants to know where he stands, and he's sure the same is true for teachers and principals. They also need to know where their students are, and as unpleasant as the process is, standardized tests are probably one of the less unfair ways to do that, he added. Asked how he felt about getting the commended scholar recognition, Harlow said he was humbled and surprised because he didn't expect to win it. Harlow is involved in robotics in the National Honor Society at STEM. I saw my score last year and thought, this isn't going to get me anywhere, and it did. So it was surprising and humbling, he said. In the United States, Harlow said his top choice for college is the Colorado School of Mines, but he's also looking seriously at Trinity College of Dublin, Ireland. Harlow wants to study computer science. I want to study computer science and go into cybersecurity-related field, he said. Harlow said he looked at the cost and admission requirements for attending a European school and found it could be feasible. STEM secondary principal Cody Griffin said he'd like Harlow to keep him apprised of what he decides. I'm excited about that for you. You're the first one that I know that's been a graduate of us that's looking outside the U.S., Griffin said. Griffin added that they don't have many people who have looked outside of Texas, but several have considered Colorado School of Mines in Golden, Colorado. I think for engineering and computer science, especially the Colorado School of Mines, it feels exactly like the experience here does when it's at its best. I went on a tour there over the summer, and it felt like what this school would be if we had any money, Harlow said. He didn't get a chance to see many students when he was at Colorado School of Mines, but the little that I did observe of student activity, I observed as positive and intense. Harlow has not been to Ireland and hopes to visit, but it's sort of up in the air right now. I think if I get admitted to Trinity, Dublin, and the University College Dublin, which I'm also looking at, I think if I get admitted that we probably will go to Ireland for a tour, but it's kind of up in the air whether that'll happen or not before I actually get admitted, Harlow said. He said although he's terrified at the prospect of being so far from home, he's very excited about the opportunity to learn in a way similar to what he's doing now, but on more of his own terms than high school can offer you. Harlow will have quite a few dual credit hours. If I go to a place in the United States, from what I gather, Ireland is not going to accept a good chunk of those credits, he added. The Colorado School of Mines should take a good number of his credits, especially in general education and composition 1. Dual credit could accelerate his path out of college if he went to school in the U.S., or he could slow it down and take a study abroad year somewhere. The student population at Colorado School of Mines is a little more than 7,000, and Trinity College has about 10,000 in its undergraduate program. Harlow is undecided on whether he's going to pursue an advanced degree, but I don't think that is something that I can predict right now, he added. His mom, Rachel, an associate professor of communication at University of Texas Permian Basin, was on hand for the interview. I think he's on a trajectory to do things that make him happy and that improve the world around him. That's pretty awesome, Rachel Harlow said. Griffin said cybersecurity is a way to improve the world, and it is meant to protect different entities from attack. I think that, in itself, in our day and age, is a noble pursuit. You're protecting people in areas that they necessarily don't know how to protect themselves, Griffin said. Harlow said that's actually why he wants to pursue cybersecurity in college. The field is also well-respected, pays well, and in high demand. I will get to do legitimately good work in a new frontier that changes every day, he added. Harlow said he feels the STEM Academy easily been the best choice for him as a high school student. I think now it is drifting further and further away from how it was when I came here as a middle school student, but part of that is down to I'm about to graduate, he added. Harlow and her husband, William Harlow, professor and communication department chair at UTPB, have another son named Thomas, who is a sophomore at STEM Academy. Thomas is also in computer science. Griffin said Harlow's extracurricular activities have helped shape the person he is as well. Our robotics program is not just about coding. It's about a team organization that is geared toward accomplishing a shared goal, contributes a part, and helps peers in that group. And then you've got programs like National Honor Society that he's a part of. So I think for Forrest, there are several parts of his high school experience that are focused on service to his classmates. He's really good at that, Griffin added.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.